Guys get back to pain, and in one of the commonest locations, low back pain. How long does it last after it starts, and with how much disability? Doctors and physios have been reassuring people with low back pain for years now not to lie down, avoid opioid painkillers, and in general keep moving, and you'll eventually be fine. Is that true, though?
Well, before you go on, I just want to chime in because we use low back pain as a term all the time, but what do you actually mean?
Well, for this particular study, this review, it was pain in the low back, in other words, below the chest and above the buttocks, which may or may not go down into your legs. Now, a group of Australian researchers has brought together the evidence from around the world on acute low back pain, less than acute low back pain, and persistent low back pain to see what people experience and for how long. The senior author was Professor Lorimer Moseley of the University of South Australia. Welcome back to the Health Report, Lorimer.
G'day, Norman. Thanks for having me.
The first thing I'd say looking at your review is that the quality of the studies you looked at was pretty crap all round. So I'm not sure how you can draw any conclusions.
Well, I think that's quite harsh, to be honest. I think we certainly were disappointed with the quality and number of studies on the chronic back pain group. And that's the group that we call it persistent or chronic. They're people who enter the studies. Yeah, where they've already had back pain for more than 3 months. But there's a bigger body of evidence, and I completely agree that some of the primary studies are crap, and we do suffer a little bit from that sort of rubbish in, rubbish out problem that you can get with meta-analyses. But there's 20,000 patients represented and pretty good follow-ups for that acute and subacute stage. So I think we can be really confident that someone says to you in that amount of time, up to 6 weeks, you've got back pain. Well, there's a good chance that your back pain will recover.
Okay, well, let's get to the numbers from the study. So, if you've got acute back pain, your back's thrown out, you're really sore, and 6 weeks after the pain started, how long on average is it going to last? And how many people slip through to the next stage?
Yeah, great way of thinking about it. I think we can more easily answer the second one, so that we've got about 70% of people recovering in that next 6 weeks. If you've got acute back pain, you don't know you've put something out. I always try and jump on that assumption. You've got back pain.
It just comes on.
We've got to get rid of the idea of things being wrecked, because most back pain, nothing is wrecked in your back.
And there's no one event.
Exactly. And then I guess if you do slip through the cracks past that first milestone of 6 weeks, then we've got about 70% of those people are going to recover.
And that's what you call subacute back pain. So it's gone down a notch.
Yeah. So the fact that it's still there does elevate your risk of it not recovering as quickly as you'd like. But when it's still hanging around at more than 3 months, that's when the data that are available, and as you said, they're not perfect at that level at all, but they do agree with the general perception out there with all the other data we've got, that once you've got chronic back pain, it tends to hang around. You tend to have it for a lot longer, and recovery rates are much lower once it's been around for that sort of more than 3 months.
Now, with Christina Abdel-Shahid a little while ago on the Health Report, we used some big words, nociceptive and neuropathic pain. So neuropathic pain is where the original cause has gone. There's nothing left that's physical. It's real pain, but it's very hard to define why you're getting it. And then there's nociceptive pain, which is where, presumably at the beginning of the process, you actually have done, your back is degenerated or whatever, and you've got actually a physical cause. So when you've got persistent pain, is this neuropathic pain where the back is healed, but you've got pain and we just don't know why?
Not really, no. So we now categorise pains in as three versions, actually. So nociceptive.
Oh God, I'm going to have to go back and talk to Christina again.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
In fact, you really don't have to worry too much about that. Like most acute back pain will be associated with some degree of maybe inflammation. Now, there's a lot of acute back pains that take care of themselves. We don't know why they started, and that may not even be associated with what we're describing as nociception. And nociception is a really unfamiliar word. All it means, if people think about noxious chemicals.
There's pathology
noxious
there.
Chemicals, yeah, danger. Well, there may not be pathology, but there is activation of danger detectors that are in the tissues, right? So we activate danger detectors often through the course of our normal daily life, and that's what keeps us safe. And acute back pain is thought to be really appropriate to keep us safe during that little threat. The next category that you talked about is neuropathic. That's when you've got a, you can demonstrate an injury or disease within your nervous system, and that requires tests, particular nerve tests or a diagnosis like diabetic neuropathy or or multiple sclerosis or a brain injury. The third category, and I think that's more what we're talking about, chronic pain, is called, they're calling it nociplastic. And we've done surveys with hundreds of consumers and said, what do you think we should call this? Because that name is stupid. And they come up with what we now use, and that is pain system hypersensitivity. And you're right, what it acknowledges is that pain is, unfortunately, it's messy and complex, and there's many factors that contribute to pain system hypersensitivity. And chronic back pain fits into that category 99.9% of the time. And so the approach that we have to take is not about a single pathology, because that's not the problem. We have to take a broader approach to the problem.
So just briefly and finally, can you predict then who gets to what place in that route, in that pathway to persistent pain or not? Is it physical situation? Is it how your GP treated you? Is it what your GP told you? Because there's some research saying, look, if the GP is really negative about it and says, you know, this is really bad, you've got to lie down to it and blah, 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 you actually are more likely to end up with persistent pain than not. I mean, what are the key factors that people need to take into account here?
Yeah, well, the key factors are not the ones that you expect, right? So the key factors are not the type of injury or even the extent of the injury. But in answer to your question, no, we can't reliably predict who's going to recover quickly and who's not. But we do know things that change your likelihood, and they are things like you've mentioned. How worried are you about this? What else is going on in your life at that time? What other threats? How healthy are you? How are you sleeping? And that's, we have to think really, really broadly about it. I guess the key point from this study is that there are treatments that train the brain and body, the pain system hypersensitivity and the body, and those treatments are the best treatments we have. So it's not like we don't have interventions that work. We're just not getting them to these people with chronic back pain. And that's, I think, where the attention has to go.
We're running out of time, but very briefly, what are those treatments?
Well, there's a range of treatments, but they all have in one thing in common, and that is they spend a lot of time shifting your understanding of what the problem of back pain actually is, away from diagnosis like a slip disc or arthritis or degeneration, these sort of things, because that's not the cause, towards understanding that there are many factors that influence pain, and the mix of factors will be different for each person. The consistent bits are movement, understanding the problem, and individualized self-mastery. You need a good coach to help you do it.
Lorimer, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Norman.
Lorimer Moseley, who is Professor of Clinical Neuroscience and Physiotherapy at the University of South Australia.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.